And I've headed my message, it's not a long one this afternoon, and I've called it Peace Under Pressure. Who's ever been under pressure? We've got one or two honest people. Well, I know you three need to get your hands up, because I keep hearing, oh, exams, 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 what we've got to do. Have you ever been under pressure? You certainly have. The devil wants to put us all under pressure. And it's not a bad thing, because it's when you're under pressure that you learn to trust God. But every one of us will experience pressure at some time in our lives. Nobody is exempt. So we may as well face it and go for it and decide how we're going to deal with it. If we're going to progress in life, then we're going to come under pressure. You cannot get to the next level at school without moving on, taking exams, and advancing. Pressure is involved in everything that we do if we're going to move from where we are. If we're going to go forward, the devil is going to try and stop you, and you're going to have to go for it. You're going to have to cover the territory. And I was thinking yesterday when we were out and about, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is really encouraging, and I just want to read a few verses from here. I want to read from chapter 1 and verse 7. The background: the children of Israel had been led by Moses, and they were on the edge of going in to their promised land, to the land that God had chosen for them, and the land God had said he would give to them. And they were on the border. They'd come through a difficult time in the wilderness, and now it was time to take possession of the land. But they, you know, they had to go through that wilderness, and in that wilderness they were to learn that God is with them. God is going to take them through, and God is going to do what he promised to do. That particular people did not make a very good job of it, and many of that generation never actually went in to the promised land because they would not believe God and go for it. Now that's a real challenge to us. If God has given us a promise, and he has, and God has said that we will do certain things, then we need to believe him, trust him, and walk with him. And we need to be prepared to progress, even when it means we're going to be under pressure. Verse 7, this is God speaking to Joshua. God has called Joshua. He was Moses' assistant, and Moses was dead. God had taken him home, and now it was up to Joshua to lead the people into the promise. And in verse 7, God gave Joshua an instruction, and he said, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go." His instruction, God's instruction to Joshua, was, "Keep my word ever before you, and do not turn from it. Be strong and courageous." And God is saying to us today, if you want to inherit the promise, you have to fight the good fight of faith. Ken's already brought that word out. Fight the good fight of faith. You're going to have to stand when it looks impossible. You're going to have to stand when you want to run away. God says, "I have called you to persevere. I have called you to take the land. I am with you. Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid. Don't submit to the pressure. Go in and possess the land." Joshua was going into unfamiliar, hostile territory. He didn't know what was ahead of him, but he knew who was with him. He knew God was with him, and that he would succeed if he kept his eyes on God. And this is a trick of the enemy, but we'll talk about that in a minute. God has called us here to intake. And I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever that this is God calling us into intake. We didn't look for this place. We knew nothing about it. But I know that God led us to this place. And he said, you are to take this land. This is the territory that I have given you. It's a hostile territory. It's unfamiliar places. You are not familiar with it at all. But don't be afraid. I've called you. I've put within you the ability to succeed. I'm with you. I'll take you in. And you will achieve what I have promised. The Lord your God is with you. Don't be afraid. Go in and possess the land. Make progress. Push forward. Don't be overwhelmed by the task ahead of you. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's have a look at verse 8. How are we going to do this? How can this be possible? This is how God said they would succeed. Verse 8 of chapter 1 of Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. Verse 9. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Don't ever be intimidated by the devil. He is a defeated foe, and if he will immediately, once he sees that you're determined to go with God, he'll start to work on you. Without a doubt, he will work on you. Men, I look at David. David fought many, many battles, but he was fearless. He'd been trained as a shepherd boy. He knew how to overcome the lion and the bear. He knew how to protect his sheep. And then God gave him a challenge, and that was Goliath. But he remembered what happened with the lion and the bear. And he looked at Goliath and he said, who are you? I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. And he said, the lion, I overcame the lion and I overcame the boar. I overcame the lion and I overcame the bear. And you're no problem, because greater, the God who is in me is greater than any giant the devil tries to put in front of me. But you know, David was courageous. David's trust and confidence was in God. And we can get an insight into some of those as we read the Psalms. Psalm 37 is a wonderful psalm. And it's full of wise and godly instruction. It says, trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Don't fret. It only leads to evil. The Lord laughs at the wicked. Blessed are those who are blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. It's full of absolutely wonderful promises. And David encouraged himself with these psalms, and they're here in the Word of God to bless us in the same way. Psalm 56 is another beautiful one. This is what David said. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. You know, even David, as fearless as he was, he at some times got afraid. So there's no shame in being afraid, but it's how we deal with that fear. And David tells us, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I'm not afraid. What can man do to me? And further down in that chapter, verse 9, this I know, that God is for me. He was confident in God. Chapter 57 and verse 2, I cry to the Most High God, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He encouraged himself in the Lord, a favourite psalm of mine, and one that I stand on continuously, Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from where my help will come. My help will come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He'll not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil, nothing exempt. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Wow! Every time we go out, every time we leave our home, God goes with us, and he said, I'll keep you as you go out, and I'll make sure as you come in that you're protected all the way on your journey. God is with you. If God is for me, who can be against me? If God is on my side, why should I be afraid? Joshua's predecessor, Moses, wrote Psalm 91. And here we have many precious promises. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and he is my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Further down, you will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. You'll only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Why? Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you. No scourge shall come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up so that you do not dash your foot against a stone. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I'll be with them in trouble. I'll rescue them and honour them. And this wonderful promise, with long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. And we could go on and on. Isaiah is full of the faithfulness of God, the promises of God, the promise that God is with us continually. He will never leave you. He will do what he promised. God said that his word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish that for which it was sent. And I was thinking about when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. You know, that was, Jesus had made a statement, and he said to them, let's get in the boat and we will go to the other side. Well, what happened? They were on a mission. They had a plan. They were going to reach, there was the madman of Gadara at the other side, and he needed deliverance. There were captives going to be set free. There were people going to be delivered. And the devil didn't want it. So what did he do? The devil set up a smoke screen. Immediately, it said, a great windstorm arose. The devil's a master at doing this. When God has given you an assignment, he will throw a great windstorm in your path. He wants your attention. He wants to convince you that you can't win. He wants to divert you. And we have a choice. The word of God says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I've spoken to many people who have said to me, I can't do it, Grace. I cannot do it. It's impossible. But we can. We make the decision. We choose whether we look at the obstacle or whether we look at the promise. And God has said to Joshua, if you want success, if you want to get into that land and prosper in that land, then there's only one way. Keep your eyes on the promises of God. Keep your eye on the word of God. And be assured, the devil will set up a smokescreen. He will bring an obstacle in your path that will look bigger than me. But the devil is defeated, and Jesus knew he was defeated. Jesus fell asleep in the boat. He was not in the slightest bit paying any attention to the devil or his schemes. He knew who he was. He knew that the devil was defeated. The devil had been defeated from the foundation of the world. Jesus knew that the devil had no hold on him, and he refused to even give him his attention. There's a great lesson there. The devil will send schemes against you. He knows your weak point. He knows just where to press your button, and he will do just that. Now we choose, do we look at the problem? Do we look at the obstacle? Do we listen to the devil? Do we get the voice of reason? Do we try and work it out and come up with, well, this is not possible, this can never happen? Or do we look at the promises of God? And do we encourage ourselves in the Lord? Are we going to have peace when we're under pressure? The only way to have peace under pressure is to stand on the word of God, to get your eyes on the word of God, to reflect on what God has said and how he has brought you and delivered you to the place that you're at now. And the God who has brought you this far, Isaiah said he will not leave you until he has accomplished what he promised. And God will not leave us until he has accomplished what he has promised. But we're in hostile territory, and the enemy is out there. We have to make inroads into the enemy. I remember my father never talked about the war years, but one thing he did say, and I know for a fact, that they were going to invade France. They were going to reclaim the territory that the enemy had taken, and they were crossing over to cross France. And they had to go with their rifle on their back, and they had to go into hostile, dangerous territory. They had to be subjected to firepower, and it was a very intimidated situation. But my father read Psalm 91, and he knew when he had read that psalm that he was going through that, and he was going to come out in victory, and he was going to come home safe and sound, because God was going with him and he was going to protect him. And it's very similar today. We're not necessarily going into fight physical battles, but these are spiritual battles, and there's a battle for the souls of men and women in this place. And we hold the key, we have the answer, and God is saying to us, now go in and possess the land. You're going to advance. You're going to have to push through. It's hostile territory, yes. And you're going to be under pressure. But don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm in control. It's my plan. It's my purpose. It's my power, not yours. And I am going to do it. I just need obedience from you. I need you to focus on me and not the situation. I need you to know that I am with you and that you will succeed, because you will succeed. And I was looking at this great windstorm and realizing that the devil's tactics haven't changed. He wants us to look at the obstacle and not at the goal. Because if he can divert your attention, if he can get your attention onto what seems real, then he can do great damage. But God says, you choose whether you look at the devil, whether you look at the obstacles, or whether you look at the promises of God and you look at me, and you go in there because I'm with you and you will be successful. Jesus wasn't at all bothered. He was fast asleep. If you remember Smith Wigglesworth, he was fast asleep. And he woke up and the devil was sat at the bottom of his bed. And he looked at him, he said, "Oh, it's only you, is it?" And he turned over and went back to sleep. You know, we need to treat him with the contempt that he deserves. He's a defeated foe. He really is. All he can do is intimidate and smokescreen and try and divert you and stop you. But we have to make a decision that he has no power. I have all the greater one in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God is with me. I have nothing, nothing to fear. We need to keep our eyes on him and not the circumstances. The word of God says what is seen, what we see now is temporal. And anything that's temporal is subject to change. Amen? Can I have a big amen? Anything that you can see is subject to change. And God said it will change. Because we need to look at what is unseen. We need to look at the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is eternal, and that's what matters. That is what will change the circumstances. I think it was last week I was speaking. I won't give the person's name. But somebody came to church last week and after service had a word with me and said, you know, I really am making progress, and I thank God that I am making progress. She has been very much oppressed. The devil has been controlling her mind and lying to her. And some weeks ago, I think it was earlier on in the summer, springtime, I was talking to her and sharing with her the word of God. And I gave her quite a few verses and I said, look, when the devil starts attacking you, you need to read Romans 8. You need to read Psalm 18. You need to, and I gave her lots of verses that she could read. And I said, if you put that word in front of your eyes, you will see the devil put to flight, because the word of God is active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. This word is not a dead letter. This word is alive. And when you speak this word, it goes to work and it creates what you speak. Amen. So I said to her, you can either bow down to the circumstances or you can speak the word of God and see the word go to work on your situation. I haven't seen her for months, and last week she came to church and she said to me, Grace, I just want to share this with you. She said, I've been a Christian all my life. I've been in church all my life, but I never knew that the word of God had such power until I was faced with an impossible situation, and the devil kept tying me up because he would bring oppression. It would bring darkness, blackness, and she would just go to her bedroom and lay on the bed and cover her face, and she would sleep. She couldn't face what the devil was putting in front of her all the time, and the heaviness and the darkness that was in her life. She had no hope. She was desperate. She wanted to commit suicide. She just wanted a way out. Every time she submitted to the devil, that's how she felt. But she said, over these past few months, I've been putting into practice what you told me to do. And she said, I've been standing on the word of God. When the feelings have come, I've refused to bow down to them. I've picked up my Bible and I've read the word of God until my spirit has lifted and lifted. And she said, the darkness that was in my mind has been lifted and lifted and lifted. She said, it goes when the word is spoken. And that's perfectly true, because David said, I think it's in Psalm 119, the entrance of your word brings light. And if you're in a dark place and you need light, it's the word of God that will bring that light, and it will drive out all darkness. It will drive away all opposition. It will drive away all fear. And you will stand strong. You will come out a mighty warrior. The word is a word of power. Here's a testimony. Not particularly brave on my part. I was not being brave and courageous. And this is a lesson I've reflected on it since, and it's a lesson to me, and I hope it can be a lesson to you. The journey to Romania was excellent. It was easy. Germany was a doddle. We got straight through, no problems, no issues at all. And we arrived at our destination safe and sound and feeling quite refreshed. The journey back was completely different. We were all right getting through Hungary and Austria. But we got into Germany, and what we didn't know was it was their bank holiday weekend. Germany's busy at the best of times, and I don't like travelling through Germany. It's the very wide four-lane motorways, each carriageway, and they're packed with cars. And the Germans don't go at 70 miles an hour, they go at 100 miles an hour, 120 miles an hour. They are batting on, and there's no mercy. They are relentless. And that does not intimidate Andrew in any way. He'll get in they'll go with the flow and fight with the best of them. But I'm a different character completely. And I feel quite often intimidated in those situations. And we were in one such situation. Excuse me. We were running late. We'd been queuing for ages and ages and ages because the roads were so busy. We had a destination to get to, and we needed to be there by 10 o'clock at night at the latest. We should have been there at 6 o'clock at night. But at 8 o'clock at night, we were about 150 miles away, and the motorway was moving, but it was chock-a-block. And Andrew was... he was brilliant on the whole of that journey. I think our average miles per hour was something like 58 miles per hour, both out and back in. But occasionally we had to push it and get out there and move. And we came to a point where we had to get out of the middle lane, just poddling along. We had to get into that fast lane, and we had to zip it. Well, there were no gaps. I tell you, they were coming, and to get in that lane was a challenge. But Andrew was up for any challenge, and he looked and he looked and he looked. It was dark, but you could see the lights coming at a pace. So he indicated, pulled out, and off we went. Put his foot down, and that car can move, I tell you. It lurched forward, but it wasn't fast enough for the person behind us. And the person behind us was right on our tail. He put his lights on full. So we had full blinding lights at the back of us. We could hardly see. And we were doing, I would say, well in excess of 100 mile an hour. The car in front of us was not very far ahead. If one thing had gone wrong, we'd have all been wiped out, because nobody had got any space. There was no car's length between us. We were just going for it. And at that point, I got terrified. And by the time we stayed in that lane for a while, and then Andrew found his opportunity and pulled in, and I just trembled and trembled and trembled. I could not even keep my hands still. They were going like that. My whole body was going like that. I couldn't speak because my voice was going like that. And it took me a while to calm myself down. I didn't tell Andrew, and you probably noticed, but it was dark, so I thought I was pretty safe there if I could hide it. But you know, what wasn't I doing? God had said to me, has always said to me, Psalm 121, I will guard you going out and you coming in. Nothing will ever, no evil will ever befall you. Because that man might be intimidating you. He might be threatening you. But the ultimate thing is, I've got a hold of you. You're in my hands, not his hands. You're not at the mercy of the enemy. You're in my hands. I love you. I've promised to protect you, and I will do what I have promised. And God got us home safe and sound, and he did what he promised. And I should have reflected on that. But all I could see was the lights behind me. All I could feel was the pressure. And God was saying, don't look at the storm. What have I said? Stand on Psalm 121 and you'll go through in victory. He was very faithful. Daniel prayed today, the grace of God, the mercy of God. In spite of us, he works for our good. But we need to be stronger than what we are. We need to stop being creatures of what we see and what we feel and the intimidation of the devil and being afraid. God's saying, you've no reason to be afraid. What happens to you is in my hands, nobody else's hands. I've got you, I've promised, I'll fulfill it. You stand your ground. Be strong and courageous. You will succeed. You will do it because I am with you. And I thank God for that. And I just want to finish with this. In October 1517, a German monk took his stand against the Church of Rome, and he brought about the Reformation, Luther. It's 500 years to this month. In 1517, Luther took his stand against the establishment. The Church of Rome was strong. The Church of Rome was controlling the people with lies, with fear, and with extortion. And the people had nothing to fight back with. But Luther, being a monk, he understood the articles of how Rome operated. And it was only the people who were scholars and knew Latin that could understand the principles and by which Rome worked. And Luther decided that they had gone a step too far, and he was going to take his stand for the truth, and the truth was going to set him and the people free. That was a huge challenge for Luther. But he didn't back off from it. He didn't stay in his comfort zone and think, well, I don't need to do this. He took his responsibility. He took the challenge that God gave him, and he resisted the devil, and he exposed the lies, and he trusted God to bring him through, and God did bring him through. And that was what we know as the Reformation. And this Reformation, it wasn't just in Wittenberg in Germany. It went throughout the whole of the Western world, what this man stood for. And because that man stood for the challenge that God gave him, you and I today are free. We have the truth in the Word of God. We have a copy of the Word of God. In England, no lay person ever had a Bible. They were told by the Church of Rome what they should do. It was man's rules, it was control, it was fear, it was manipulation. And the people were none the wiser because they didn't have a copy of the Bible. And Luther translated what he needed to get across to the people into German. And when the German people read it, they realized the truth, and they stood with him against the Church of Rome. This message, this Reformation, came over to England, and a man called William Tyndale, he too stood alongside Luther and said, I will stand for the truth, and I will make sure that every person in England has a Bible for themselves. And he translated the Bible from Latin into English, and he got somebody to print thousands of copies, and he gave them out to the people. And because of that, you and I have a Bible that we can read and we can know the truth, and the truth sets us free. We're not subject to man's lies and control. We have the truth, and we are very privileged people. It cost Tyndale his life, and that was a very high price to pay, but he was prepared to pay it because he wanted to stand for the truth. And we will go through situations that are very challenging to us. You know, if we hadn't have gone into the fast lane in that journey, we would never have progressed and made our destination. And sometimes it's challenging to get in the fast lane. Sometimes it's intimidating to get out of the boat. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. He walked on the word of God. Jesus said to him, come, come. He was fine until he looked down and saw what he was doing, and then he started to sink. He took his eyes off God. He took his eyes off Jesus, and he got his eyes on the circumstances. And immediately he began to sink. And that happens with us. We need to keep focused. When God has opened a door for you, then walk through it and don't be afraid. Don't let the devil control you and box you in and determine what happens to you. You determine what happens to you because you make the choice. You make the decision. I am not going to let the devil push me around. I'm not going to be like a rabbit in the headlights. I felt like a rabbit in the headlights, and that's not a good feeling. It's not a good place to be, and God does not want us there. He said, don't let the circumstances control you. You control the circumstances. Now do it, and you will be a mighty warrior. You will be a winner. I'm with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord and not look at the circumstances. And I think another good way of doing that, and reading Psalm 94 and others, what did David do to encourage himself, apart from standing on the Word of God and encouraging himself with the Word of God? He praised God. He got into worship. And I love our worship songs. But you know, sometimes it's good to have a good old jump up and down and praise God and a run round the church singing, my shackles are gone, my spirit is free. I praise the Lord, he lifted me. You know, it does something in your spirit and it takes you out of your situation. Jesus, we celebrate your victory. Jesus, we revel in your love. You know, you've delivered us from fear. It reminds us of all the things God has done. And we need to keep focused on these songs. We need to sing praise songs to God. We need to forget. Don't be inhibited. Don't look at people and wonder what they're thinking at what you're doing. Get up there and praise God and put the devil to flight. He will flee from you if you submit to God and resist him. He is no match for God whatsoever, and he's no match for you if you know who you are and you're right in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Amen. Let's have our knees up and just know, let the devil know we know who we are. Amen. Do you know who you are? I'm a winner, okay? And I'm going to win every time because God is with me. Amen.